from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Yester.
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, and we welcome you back in for hour number two here of Sports Daily. It's a Wednesday edition. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you. The IHOP hotline is going to be open after we chat with Kevin Saul, 869-1240. Kevin, welcome into Sports Daily. Hope the summer is treating you well. How's your tan?
We're doing fine, Jacob. How are you? Paul, good to hear your voice here, and thanks for having us on the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look, it's a fun time, I hope, for you guys to kind of sit back and enjoy what's coming this weekend, to really get to soak in some of the great history, not just for Wichita State basketball, which I know matters the most to you guys, but look, the rosters for K-State and KU's alumni teams look fantastic. This is like, you're a college basketball fan, and you watch some of these players. You got Frank Mason and Thomas Robinson on the same team. Jacob Pullen's out there for K-State. Of course, the Aftershocks now have continuity up and down the roster, which is going to give them a great chance to win. But this is looking like it's just going to be a really, really fun year for the TBT.
Yeah, I think so. It's we kick it off on Saturday with four games. The Aftershocks play at noon. K-State's team goes up against Colorado at 2. And then you've got a Florida and L.A. group going at 5, and then Kansas and Colorado State's group at 7. So we got four games on Saturday, which will be really, really good. Long day of that. Then we've got a 6 o'clock and an 8 o'clock taking the winners of those on Monday night. And then we get the final game on Wednesday, with the possibility, guys, depending on how it all shakes out, with the possibility of getting a quarterfinal game.
You know, when you look at the Shocks and the tournament that's about to roll, how much does that help Shocker basketball overall? I've always kind of thought to myself, it's got to be pretty cool, because is it used to recruit? Is it used to say once you're – I mean, I know this is crazy, and everybody wants to get to the NBA, but I've always thought there's got to be a connection between Wichita State for the good – and this tournament, particularly when Wichita State always seems to be a team that's going to get more than its share of home games because of the crowd, because of the love of basketball, because of the love of Shocker basketball, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. I think there are subtle and overt messages.
Yes, well said.
When you host those things, right? I think they're the subtle unconsciousness piece of it. Is when you're in the summer and you really have Major League Baseball and that's the only thing going on, and you're flipping around on the TV and you catch a basketball game and you're seeing the big Shocker in the middle of the floor. I think that's an example of maybe the subtle, indirect messaging. But you can certainly bet that both of our programs are using the TBT as a measure of importance to basketball for our city, our region, and they're taking a more overt approach to that. You know, TBT specifically, I think we've talked about on your show before, guys. My my first AD stop at Murray State, we were interested in hosting the TBT. Murray State had a nice basketball tradition and had a great following. I think we had about 4,000 season tickets. So it was really good for our league. And so we looked at that and we got on with the TBT folks and we said, hey, who does this the best in the country? Who can we replicate? And they told us at that time it was Wichita State. So understanding that Wichita State's been on the front end of the TBT and has been going for a decade now, really strong partner. So I think it speaks to importance both subtly and overtly. But I think, guys, AUX softball does the same thing. Hosting conference tournaments do the same thing. It speaks to the importance of athletics and championships to our place.
And it has to help in recruiting. A fun story. I think it was the first year or the second year of the TBT tournament. I think it was the first year when it was just nuts. We had a candidate at KWCH, and we were covering it. And she was in town interviewing for a job, for a sports job. And I was like, well, hey, let's run over to TBT. We gotta do that. And it was seeing that was like eyes big, like, oh, man, like this is awesome. And it helped bring somebody to Wichita. I can't imagine it doesn't do the same thing for the basketball
really
programs.
That speaks to the power of athletic programs, right? Like we're competing for championships, but at the same time, a community, the quality and size of Wichita deserves a winner, because I can't tell you how much, guys, I've heard from in the 2 years that I've been here, whether it's private business, whether it is the public sector or education, that winning programs in communities like this really drive business. And, you know, Coach Marshall's one of the things that he used to say is that probably still would say is that when Wichita State basketball does well, the community of Wichita does well. And that is the case. You sit down with folks at Koch Industries or Cargill or USD 259 or wherever it is, there is a benefit to the Shockers playing, winning and championship basketball to so many, whether that's recruitment, whether that is quality of life, whatever the case may be. And so we don't take that lightly. And it's more than just us and what we're trying to do here. It's a whole community and a region.
It is. We tell people all the time, it's Wichita's. It's felt like this to me because I'm an outsider, so maybe it doesn't for everybody, but I think it does. It feels like it's a pro team in town. Like whether you're a, you know, K-State, KU fan, they're far away. Everybody can go catch a Shocker game. It's the first thing I noticed when I moved here in 2014, which is, of course, right at the peak. It was like, man, everybody's a Shocker fan. Everybody's into this. Everybody, like these great conversations we were able to have. And hopefully a little of those things bleed through this weekend at the TBT. I think that they will. I think you guys will get a lot of K-State, a lot of KU, especially this year, Frank Mason being there. But it's going to be a fun atmosphere. So, Kevin, real quick, and we can talk more about the Shockers, you know, currently not the alumni team. Tickets still available. How is all that going, and how can people get out there and check out TBT, which, again, starts Saturday?
Yeah, so absolutely. Tickets are available. They can call the normal 316-978-FANS, F-A-N-S, to get tickets to TBT. Again, we got four games on Saturday, two on Monday, and then one on Wednesday with the potential for a quarterfinal after that Wednesday game. The sales have been going well. You guys know how well this event is supported. And typically what we've seen historically is week of is when you get a bulk of that. So I know the ticket office staff is pretty busy this week in terms of fulfilling those orders, particularly with K-State and KU coming. And you'll get a lot of walk-up as well, provided the weather is good. And it looks like it's going to be really nice weather this week. So we'll have a busy 3 or 4 days here and getting ready for it. But it's always a great event. We're really excited about it. I can't say enough, guys, about like Brad Pittman and our operations crew, Tyler Good, Kayla Jost. Those are the folks that are making AUX softball and TBT and state high school track. I mean, we had a record attendance for state high school track this year at 30,000 over 2 days. That's an event that brings $6 to $7 million of economic impact to the community of Wichita and our county. So there's a lot of folks working really hard at it. And the beauty of it is it benefits not only us, but the city and the region.
You know, you made me think for just a second, though, Kevin, and I really appreciate the words that you spoke. I know that you have a true love for Wichita State and the history of it, but you made me think, in what you just said, you made me think of the fact that, you know, there are universities that have great history. of their, and I'm going to use basketball as an example, a great history of basketball. I mean, the Kentuckys of the world, the Indianas of the world. You know, I won't include UCLA because I don't think their fans give two hoots about basketball in that community. No offense to UCLA, but I wouldn't consider them. But there are those universities that have, KU would be one of them, but that have a tremendous history. But more than a tremendous history, they have a tremendous love for the history of their sport. And I think Wichita State is one of those teams that when you think about the greats of the past, what Wichita State means to basketball and what basketball means to Wichita State, they're interchangeable, in other words. And, you know, speak to just a second about how important it has been to Wichita State to make sure that the history of Shockers stays in front of everybody. Because I can tell you right now, Wichita State is so blessed to love this sport, to love the Shockers all in the same breath. And they speak of Shockers in almost a reverent way, don't they?
They really do, Paul. And I don't know that I could say that any better than you just said it. It is a remarkable community. It's one that I think a lot of, and it is a community that absolutely loves its basketball program. It's a state that loves its basketball programs. You can go, you can work your way around the state, whether it's at the D2, the NAIA level, the Division I level. It is a state that has produced really good basketball. When you talk to season ticket holders and fans, you guys, if you're attending games last year, you'll notice we did season ticket holders of the game that we would recognize. And we have people and couples and families that have been in here since the early 50s and the early 60s. And so they go back and they can – we have some that – you guys know I stand in the tunnel back behind the bench there, and we've got folks there that will engage and say, wow, we haven't seen that since – such and such did it in 1974, and I'm thinking, wow, holy cow, these guys on the media relations team. It's a phenomenal deal, and I'll share this with you guys. This is maybe a little bit more nebulous version of it, but I hope I can articulate it well. In doing this 26 years, when you walk into stadiums and venues and you experience an event, there is a different feel from the standard average event, and then as compared to an event where you have a really engaged, passionate, urgent, and knowledgeable fan base. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can hear it, whether it's responding to a basketball play that might not be on the box score but contributes to winning, and a hustle play, getting on the floor, whatever the case may be. And that certainly exists here in Wichita, and it doesn't exist at a lot of places where you have a very passionate, urgent, knowledgeable, educated fan base that really loves their Shockers, and it's a blessing to be a part of it.
It's a blast, and we're ready for, you know, the Shockers in basketball season to get back there, both on the men's and women's side.
Ready to go.
Paul Mills last week, we're talking with Kevin Saul here, Wichita State Athletic Director, appreciate the time on Sports Daily. Coach, I caught a sense of real excitement from him, from what he's seeing this summer out of this group. Am I reading that wrong? Are you sensing the same thing? Are you feeling the same thing from what you've seen out of the men's basketball team? I caught a pretty good air of excitement from Coach Mills last week with this group.
No, I certainly think that exists. And obviously we want to be cautiously optimistic, and certainly we got to stay healthy and all of those things. We've got a group, guys, that the competitiveness in practice is night and day difference of what we had last year, and no disrespect at all. To give you a little bit of facts, and hopefully the fan base can really absorb these things and understand that there's some truly remarkable elements that are going on in our program. The average American Athletic Conference team lost 8 players on their roster last year. We're positioned 7th strongest in of the 32 leagues, and so you see a lot of variability and movement between the American Athletic Conference. End of the day, the average team lost 8. We lost 3. We returned 5 of the top 7 scorers from last year, along with 4 guys through the portal and 2 freshmen. Zion from Houston has been performing really remarkably in practice for a freshman. Justin Hill from Georgia, 10 points a game in the SEC. I think he was 3rd in the league in assists, true point guard. really, really good. So to watch him and Xavier Bell battle it out one-on-one on the court in different drills, Zane Meeks, Quincy Ballard. We have, as you guys know, the Croatian Mate that will be here, I think the second week in August. So you've got three big men there that can score in all kinds of versatile ways. Two can shoot from outside. So, again, I think Paul and the staff have done a remarkable job this year bringing in, keeping 5 of 7 of the top scorers and then bringing in some really high-quality players. Corey Washington from St. Peter's is going to be really good, 6'6", high motor, gets to the free throw line, I think like top 20 in the country last year. So he gets in there. A.J. McGinnis is a 40% shooter from three. He came from Lipscomb and is a solid defender. So we got some really, really good pieces coming in addition to Xavier Bell, Quincy Ballard, Harlan Beverly, Ronnie DeGray, all those guys coming back. So we're really excited about it.
You know, one of the great things about this time of the year is we don't have a lot of Shocker sports going on. So I get to ask, funny questions, not funny questions, but questions I've always wanted the answer to. And this is kind of an off the wall, if you don't mind, question to you. And it's this. The wonderful thing about Wichita State right now is I honestly think you've got two sports at Wichita State that are on the precipice of maybe becoming self-funding or maybe totally becoming a source of extra revenue for the athletic program. And I'm talking about volleyball and softball. There's an interest in those two sports, I think, at Wichita State that it wouldn't be surprised. And by the way, you look at volleyball, you look at Penn State, you look at Nebraska, for God's sakes, they're playing in front of what, 20, 25,000 fans every game. You know, Wichita State with softball and volleyball is on the precipice of maybe being similar to those programs. What will it take to get Wichita State to kick volleyball and, say, softball? And maybe if there's something else, another sport that you think may be on that verge, let me know. But those two sports, what's it going to take to get those two sports right to the point where we see the Nebraskas of the world, the OU and softballs in the world? Where are we on those?
Man, Paul, we might have to go into a whole other segment here. That's a 15-minute answer right there.
Oh, good Lord, sorry.
Oh, good. No, it's good. It's good. It's really good. So, obviously, Coach Lamb and his staff have done a phenomenal job.
Yes, they have.
Teams, NCAA tournaments. We have a high-quality volleyball program. It has been, unfortunately, 7 years since we've made the NCAA tournament. So I think first and foremost, doing all the things that we're doing, we're outperforming in community service. We're doing things we've never done before academically, and we're telling those stories. And at the end of the day, for us as a department, the goals are pretty clear. We want to win 15 conference championships in the next 5 years. That's a very bold and aggressive goal. We want to position our programs to be in the top three resource-wise of the public institutions in our league. And we have done that with men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, softball, and baseball are all positioned in the top three so that they have the alignment of resources to expectations. At the end of the day, Paul, I think people want to be a part of championship programs. People want to be a part of things that have never been done before. So what is that in volleyball? That's getting back to the NCAA tournament. That's getting through the first week into the NCAA tournament. What is that in softball? That is a facility renovation that's much needed, not only for revenue streams, as you mentioned, but most importantly for our student-athlete experience.
Right,
so that
right.
Recruit, develop, retain at a higher level than we've ever done before. And so what's the next step for softball? We got to get into a super regional weekend in softball, and then eventually make the 2-hour trip down to Oklahoma City. In our basketball programs, we got to be not only consistent NCAA tournament qualification teams, but we got to make deep runs. I really love where we're headed. I think I would add baseball to that list, and it sounds goofy, Paul, to say that because of the tradition that Gene and his staff and all the players have brought to Wichita State over 3 decades. But at the end of the day, we haven't been in the NCAA tournament in 11 years. Last year, at this time, we had 3 players on the roster. We had 33 in the transfer portal. Fast forward 10 months, and we're playing in the championship game of the American Athletic Conference tournament, and we get walked off in the bottom of the 10th to lose to Tulane. So that's a remarkable turnaround in 1 year. And so I think we've got a lot of really, really great people. Our student athletes think very highly of their coaches, and we have the quantitative metrics to be able to show that through our surveys. and we're trying to develop a student athlete experience that they don't desire to leave. So all of those elements play into getting our programs to the precipice of doing things that have never been done before, and then getting the Wichita State University and then the city and the region engaged in those programs as they do some remarkable things.
Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us here. One more for you, Kevin. We touched on men's basketball. How's it coming for Terry Nooner here in year two and some of the players they've brought in? What have you guys been able to see out of the Shocker women and what they could bring this year?
I'm really glad that that you asked that, Jacob, because they've done a remarkable job as well. I want to say that we have brought in eight new players on the women's basketball side. You're going to see more speed, more athleticism. You're going to see more length, more heights. We've got just some unbelievable athletes that have come in. You've got a 6'6" center and Aisha that will really create some matchup problems. We are guard deep. And so you've got Celise Blow, who was the state high school player of the year in Texas, had a great freshman year last year. Terry and staff were able to retain her. And you've got a really nice complement of new players coming in as well. So it was interesting. We were at Koch Industries yesterday, Jacob. We had both the men's and women's basketball teams there, and we engaged with employees and Wichita State Shockers that work at Koch Industries. And as I was circulating around the women's table, they're getting ready to go to the U.S. Virgin Islands. They're doing their foreign trip this summer, and they leave late next week. And so I said, hey, guys, what's the one thing that you're looking forward to the most in terms of excursions at the Virgin Islands? And I'll never forget it. Princess Anderson, a new guard to our program, she looked at me and she goes, winning. And I could not have been more happy with that. Than winning.
Yeah, of course.
What we all
Coach Nooner probably couldn't have been happier either,
right.
I would imagine.
Pleasantly surprised and excited about where our women's program is headed.
Cool.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Good news, certainly. All right, we'll get ready for a TBT fun weekend. Kevin, we know you guys will enjoy it. We certainly will as well. See if we can't get the Aftershocks to get $1 million in their pocket. And in the meantime, watch some great KU, K-State. One of the three. Just get one of the three through, and we'll be happy. I know you guys are rooting for those Aftershocks, though. Good luck with the tournament this weekend, and we'll be watching.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate being on the show. And go Shockers.
Thanks, Kevin.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. If you want to go back and listen to any of that interview, if you joined it late, you can always do that on the Odyssey app. Chad gets those in podcast form, so you can go back and listen. By the way, speaking of Shockers, Paul Mills on last week, and go back and listen to that interview as well. You'll hear what I'm talking about. He's excited about this Shocker men's basketball team.
That
buzz is building there.
That's
for
a good
this
thing.
Season.
So you bet.
We hope it certainly pans out that way. All right, we'll come back. Paul's going to give us his big takeaways from SEC Media Days. Another star receiver asking for a trade in the NFL. Hey, hey, hey.
Not
getting
it. A couple
of guys that could change the landscape
He's
out there on the market
get
in the
it,
NFL.
Though. He's not getting it.
You got two of them that are, you know, Pro Bowl caliber players. We'll come back. We'll touch on it all as we make our way through Sports Daily. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Supporters of the program support their efforts to get you out there to have some fun. I'm going to go out with my 7-year-old daughter tonight and play some twilight golf. Looks like the weather's going to be good to us, so we're going to do that. Looking forward to that. Get out there, hit it around a little bit. 36 holes to choose from. You've also got the pools. My wife's out there playing tennis all the time. All kinds of good stuff. Great.
That's
clubhouse.
Good.
Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask for a tour. Check it all out. You'll see what we mean. Let's set up our NBC World Series ticket giveaway. You can do that by texting the word STRIKE. You can win NBC World Series tickets once per day here. STRIKE to 20357. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. That's STRIKE to 20357. Paul, real quick before we get your SEC storylines, some news from the Chiefs here.
All right.
They have placed – so these are the players that are going to go on the PUP list, the active PUP list. So I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned about right now, but it's good to see Xavier Worthy not on there and back out at practice today. There's videos of him now circulating. Certainly of the rookies, you'd like to see him get out there.
Right.
Well, so Derek Nnadi, Charles Omenihu, Joe Tooney, and Jalen Watson all on that active PUP. I don't think there's a large concern about any of those guys, but just trying to work through some things. So that's the news there on the Chiefs. We may get into more on the Chiefs today. If not, we will tomorrow. All right, Paul, it's SEC Media Days. They sort of they get the stage after the Big 12 had the stage last week and created a lot of buzz, certainly. Now it's the SEC's turn. I would contend to you, Paul, and this is, you know, I'm obviously biased in this, in what I follow, but even following from afar and seeing how much it's being talked about, I think the Big 12 has been talked about last week more than we're seeing out of the SEC this week, but you've been paying attention for us. So right. What are you taking away now as Texas and Oklahoma enter the league?
Well, here's the thing that the big takeaway, at least for me at this point. Now, well, what I'm about to say may change, and it may change on behalf of the SEC. Who knows what's going to happen? But right now the SEC is saying, you know something, everybody? We're fine with 16 teams. We're bringing aboard Texas. We're bringing aboard Oklahoma. That's probably it for a while. We have no interest in making our team or making our league any larger. Now, when they say that, when the SEC, because who drives the boat? Well, the SEC drives the boat on just practically everything with regards to realignment, don't they? That's the team. That's the league that controls everything. Now, maybe to a little bit lesser extent would be the Big Ten. Don't get me wrong. The Big Ten's, you know, pretty important and probably second on that list of who drives what. But with the SEC saying, we're happy at 16. We don't think we need to go anywhere else. We think we've got a good group. This is a group that can basically control, you know, football at the college level for a long, long, long time to come. And I'm not going to argue with them because I think they can make a case for that with about what? A half a dozen teams that have the potential of winning a national championship at any given time. So I'm with them on that. But I find that interesting because when they say that, if you look over the overall landscape, that means there's not a lot left for the Big 12 to do or the ACC or even the Big 10 for that matter. And, of course, the Pac-12 is now, you know, basically non-existent. Although I did find it interesting, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, that Washington State and Oregon State, Jacob, as you know, are going to be able to honor the bowl commitments of the Big 12. So, you know, those two teams are going to be guaranteed.
The Pac-12.
So they're going to be able
to. So somebody's going to the Rose Bowl?
Well, that's the list of bowls that I saw did not include the Rose Bowl, but it was some other bowls. I mean,
so they're really
their bowls.
So they're really not fulfilling the only bowl that the Pac-12. Yeah,
that would be right. That was not on the list. But on the other hand, you know, the fact is that the playoffs have taken a lot of those bowls out of the circulation with some of these teams. But anyway, with that being said, I found it interesting because right now I think we're in for a quiet period. You know. It seems like
The Big 12's the Big 12's trying to disrupt things again. I think Florida State and Clemson are wanting out in the Big 12.
And where are they going?
Find a path.
No, where will they? Oh, the Big 12. I thought if I was Clemson and those guys, I would say I'm one of these days. The SEC
didn't want them.
Not now. Not this moment.
Nah, they don't. They don't. They're already in those areas. They don't gain. If the SEC, here would be my thought on it. And I've just
you're going TV on me. You're going TV on me, aren't you?
I have heard, you know, people talk about this. I've talked to people. I don't think there is interest from the SEC in Florida State or Clemson. They're already in South Carolina. And they're already in Florida. I think the interest for them is certainly North Carolina, and maybe like Virginia. They don't have to rush it, though. They're saying they're good because they can be good if they don't ever do another thing, and they'd be fine. But don't make any mistake. If the Big 12 can pull this off, if Brett Yormark can pull this off and light the match that burns up the ACC, which I think they're probably trying to do, then, yeah, the SEC at that point, if teams become available, then they'll have interest. And be like, oh, you know what? Maybe we ought to take on North Carolina. I think they'd love to have North Carolina. Makes a ton of sense. And then the Big Ten will, you know, they'll kind of come in and take their pickings and They probably have interest in you know, Virginia, maybe Duke, or does Miami fit into all this? But if the Big 12 can light the match against Clemson and Florida State, which, I again, I think they want to do it, those become two of your, if not your biggest, football brands. I mean, they're at least right there with everybody else. And they certainly add to the league, because the Big 12, and the Big 12 TV deal, remember, Paul, doesn't last forever. It goes away pretty soon. So if the Big 12 is going to get where they want to be, and then you know, all these things we've talked about, it does make some sense. If there is any interest whatsoever in the possibility of adding Florida State and Clemson, which I'm not sure anybody would have thought at one point, then now's the time. Because if you can light that and get that going, then things will probably begin to crumble a little bit for the ACC. Because then at that point, it's like, okay, well, the SEC, maybe they go after North Carolina. And then maybe the Big Ten goes after, you know, Duke, Virginia, Miami. And now what do you have left? And that's when, sort of like we saw in the Pac-12, and we know Brett Yormark's capable of this because he did it with Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's like, all right, well, we can see that sinking ship. Where's our life preserver?
Mm-hmm.
And then you toss one out, and you clean up the rest of the thing, and the Big 12 becomes this massive mega league that has always been the protection of itself. You add to basketball, they go to the table for a new TV deal here pretty quick. And then I think, which Brett Yormark talked about, they can be financially competitive with the SEC and the Big Ten.
You know something?
So there is a path for it.
Right. Right. And I think what you've articulated is probably pretty accurate. It also gives me solace in the fact that, you know, when you're talking about adding Virginia, talking about adding North Carolina, you're talking about states with good populations. Big population.
Well, states where their footprint already isn't expanded into,
yeah, but,
is the thing that,
but,
I've always,
but they have
heard interesting.
Yeah. But that gives me solace, because I don't think they'll go after, say, the University of Kansas. They'll never go after Kansas State, I can tell you that. But I don't think they'd ever go after the University of Kansas, partly because...
Well, it won't matter. If the Big 12, Paul, if the Big 12 can pull this off, there won't be any need or desire for teams to leave the Big 12, because they will be in a similar financial footing as the other leagues. It is the path. It is the best path for the Big 12. I don't think there's any question about that. And the safety in the Big 12 is if they can get the product and the league where it needs to be by the time they orchestrate that next TV deal, and they can get competitive with the Big Ten and the SEC, there's no need to go anywhere else if you're any of these schools.
You know, the way you have framed this, it makes me think, what is the future of West Coast football? I mean, Washington has landed. Oregon has landed.
What was the recent past of West Coast college football, though?
Well,
you know what I mean?
It was never as good as the West wanted you to think it was. Those in the West, it was never as good.
No, it may have been as competitive, but it was never as popular.
But not,
it's not as popular.
Not with TV numbers, not with what one would look at in your business.
Right.
Good football,
but I don't
want to
ignore
that. Yeah.
I don't want to ignore what USC has pulled off, what Oregon has pulled
off. No, that's true.
But holistically, like, it's nice to be out there in that time window.
Right. No, that's right.
But I mean, college football has never been the biggest draw on the West Coast. That's fine. They have other things that they're interested in. There's no problem with that.
You ever been to a Cal game?
You know, right?
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful stadium, seats a lot of people, and nobody's there. So go ahead. But I got you. Go ahead.
I just, it's all, I thought there would be a longer pause too. The thing that threw me off of it all was what the Big 12 did with Colorado. When we heard that they sort of paid Colorado a little money to be that first, you know, that first one that started it all. Why wouldn't you do that same thing for Clemson and Florida State?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can raise the money. I think they can raise the money fairly easily. And I think you can raise that money and use it exclusively to help them with their buyouts. Because, Paul, if you're Kansas State leadership, let's say, and you're sitting there and Brett Yormark is, let's say he gets a private equity investment of $50 million, which I think is totally doable. He gets on the phone, he's talking to the presidents and the athletic directors, and he says, here's the deal, guys. I got $50 million. We're not gonna just spread that out among the universities. You may not see a direct benefit of that $50 million. I'm gonna go use that $50 million and I'm gonna give it to Clemson, I'm gonna give it to Florida State to help them get out of the ACC and into the Big 12.
Mm.
And in turn, we're gonna make this league stronger so that the next time we go to the bargaining table with these TV networks, we've got a league that we think can compete financially or even exceed it because of our basketball brand with the SEC and the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Trust me to go get that done.
Yeah.
If you're in the K-State chair, what do you say to that?
Well, of course, what you say is, you know,
I say go do it.
Where's the money? If the money's there, what are you going to say? You're going to say, yeah, that's what you're going to do.
Well, you're going to, you know, because I think there's some.
We're talking
like,
money here.
Like, well, but you got to think. If they take a private equity investment, I think they're going to in some capacity.
Well,
some,
okay.
There's going to be, you know, people that are like, well, hang on a minute. Why don't we just use that for the schools that are already here?
Right.
But the reality is it's all about what is the best way to position this league. Mm-hmm. Not only does it help you financially, but it's the safety mechanism that is ultimately needed to survive. The SEC and the Big Ten are not in any danger. They don't feel any danger because they're the power brokers because they can, you know, wield the most money. Well, the Big 12 lost Texas and Oklahoma, two of the five most valuable college brands in the country. You're never going to get that back, singularly.
No.
But there is strength in numbers. We've always known that. It's why we initially thought the Big 12 and the Pac-12 should merge, and the Pac-12 didn't do it, and guess what? Big 12 said, all right, fine. We'll make the decision for you.
Yeah.
You know, we think the same thing should happen with the ACC right now.
Yeah.
They can't do it
right.
because of this bad TV deal. Mm-hmm. So how can you push the envelope? Well, you could help their biggest brands with those buyouts with some money. Mm-hmm. They did it for Colorado.
Right.
And on a much smaller scale, but it happened.
Right. But in the ACC, let's not you know, forget, because we have to consider to a certain extent lawsuit going on with all this stuff that we've been talking about. There are active lawsuits. But can I go out on a limb and make a really dumb prediction? You might like. I give you permission to laugh at me. But here's a prediction I'm going to make. The SEC, in their effort to make a league that is unbelievable, they'll pick one more team. They'll go to 17, and then they'll cut a team. I'm making the prediction right now that within the next 5 years, Vanderbilt is jettisoned from the SEC.
I doubt it.
And then you look at one team. Who do we need to bring in? Is it a
North
Notre
Carolina.
Dame? Well, no. No, I'm talking about where if you had jettisoned Vanderbilt. By the way, what does Vanderbilt bring to this thing? I got a
probably a lot of money. Probably
I don't know.
A lot of money.
Well, they it's not a big school. It's not a big alumni base. They already have an SEC team in the same state, which is the state of Tennessee. They already have Tennessee, and trust me, Vanderbilt is a poor sister compared to Tennessee, and you know that.
Yeah, now they're protected, or they wouldn't still be the same way Rutgers is protected, I think. But
Rutgers is a different.
Everybody wants to think of where Notre Dame's going to go. Why would Notre Dame go anywhere? Why would they do that? They don't have to do that. They already have their own TV deal. They've already got a seat at the table. They don't need to go anywhere yet. Now, if they need to go somewhere, where would they go? That would be the interesting question. I would imagine with all the rivalries existing in the Big Ten and all the, you know, the footprint, they would go to the Big Ten. But who knows?
Well,
I'd call them if I was a Big 12.
What happened
say,
is
hey,
teams say, I don't want to play you, Notre Dame. And when that day comes, and it may come, people say, well, let's... Why do we want to play Notre Dame? Let's not do it.
Yeah.
And that could happen.
So.
That could happen.
Maybe so. All right, we'll continue the conversation. I want to get Paul's thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. We'll have that next. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run! Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to Sports Daily right here on KFH Radio. Paul Savage, Jacob Albrock, Chad Chambers still throwing those switches for me, and I'm sure appreciative of that. Regarding the SEC and the meetings going on, boy, this is fascinating because there's so much going on in college football behind the scenes that it's really hard to get a handle for or make a prediction. But, you know, that's what we do right here on Sports Daily is we try to figure out what's going to happen and be on the cutting edge of what's about to take place. And in college football, it's really fascinating because money is running off of this, obviously is running everything. But you look at Georgia and the University of Georgia, for instance, and inside the SEC, they've got all kinds of problems with kids and arrests and that kind of thing. You look at some of the other schools, they've got all sorts of sets of problems as well. You look at what the SEC has done with regards to Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and it's really smart for those two teams to do that. I think with the future of football, you know, I'm not going to fault Oklahoma. I'm not going to fault Texas. I wish they weren't going, but they are going to the SEC. It's just one of those realities of what they think is best for them. And, of course, the SEC is really unique in terms of having to go into the process of making a decision. Horns down. Is it legal? Is it a penalty? Can you do it? What times can you do it? And if you can do it at these times, can you do it at certain other periods of a football game? And the SEC has made the horns down gesture. Now, I've never done that. You know, I'm no fan of Texas. I'm a Baylor guy. I've never gone horns down. I don't want to do horns down. I don't want to disrespect the University of Texas. But with regards to the sign of horns down, which is sort of like calling them a bad name, and that's what that is, horns down. The horns down can be are signatures or gestures that can be shown. However, the caveat is that gesture cannot be made in a taunting way. In other words, you score over a DB, a receiver makes a great catch in the end zone. Boom, there you go.
Paul,
you
can't cares? Just give. Who cares if somebody does a horn
down? I'm a Southwest Conference guy. I care. That's who cares.
Why?
I care.
It's a fan talking trash. You don't want fans talk. Why does Texas get so offended by that? Like, who cares? We make fun of our competition all the time.
Well,
what fans do.
It's a big deal. It's been made a big deal.
Yeah,
Other people have made a big deal of this.
Nothing makes Texas look like a bigger bunch of sissies than getting offended by a horns down.
Well, in the last few days, this has been a big deal, has it not? I mean, it's been
a big deal for them. Nobody else cares, and the only reason people do it is because they know it bothers them so much. Like, you know, I mean, come on, it's like your brother like just goes and tattles on you and does stuff. What are you going to do? Mom and dad aren't looking, you're going to do it even more to mess with them.
That's what our moms always said. My mom said, you know, you don't have any reaction to when somebody taunts you, and they won't do it very long.
They'll leave you alone.
But if you give them reactions,
trick in the book.
It is.
Real quick, Paul, do you root for Texas and Oklahoma to be successful in the SEC? I do. Now, I suppose I wouldn't mind, you know, maybe getting popped in the mouth this first year as just like a, you know, good luck over there. But ultimately, I really do want, I would love to see Texas and Oklahoma dominate the SEC.
Well,
people in the SEC have, you know, they've been all spoiled and thinking they're the best. I would love to see somebody step in there and shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, can I split my ticket? Do you mind? I'm going to split my ticket right here. I don't want to see OU have any success in the SEC. However, with Texas, you got to remember, I've played against those guys, and it's been a
What is the difference? But for the two schools for you,
well, the University of Texas is an old SWC team, a Southwest Conference team, you know, and I have a spot in my heart for the old Southwest Conference. I mean, I played in the old Southwest Conference. I went to the Southwest Conference because I wanted to play in what I considered would be one of the most challenging leagues that I could go to with regards to being a linebacker, the position that I played. I wanted to go to the Southwest Conference. And back in the day when I was playing, running football was it was manly. It was the thing to do. You know, it was who's tougher than anybody else. And there was a day when the SEC was one of the toughest, roughest, go get them, you know, here we come type of leagues that you've ever seen. You know, the Wishbone, I was playing football when the Wishbone was being played, for guys' sakes. And I wanted to go play Texas. Texas is still, to me, going to always have a soft spot in my heart, Jacob, because they were a Southwest Conference team. And I know you understand that, being from Texas. I'm sure I'm not the only person
but
still
left. Wasn't Oklahoma in there, too, at
No, they
some
were
point?
Big 8 at that time. No, they were in the Big 8.
Okay.
They were Big 8.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it was a
okay.
while before this all happened, and Oklahoma started playing all those. It's been a while. It's been, what, 20 years now?
Well, I mean, listen.
But, I mean, there was a day. I mean, Rice was in the Southwest Conference.
Yeah,
Come on, Rice.
Okay.
But there was a time when Rice was good.
They can take their licks in the first year, I suppose, but ultimately I want them to both be good there. I do. I know. I would imagine, Paul, we're some of the only people. If you pulled 10 Big 12 fans, we might be the only two.
Don't have a problem if Texas
see
wins.
Them
it.
Be good.
I don't care if Texas wins.
Well, I just
Let
I don't
Texas
I'm sick of the SEC.
I'll be okay with that. I'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm sick of the SEC. I'd like for you know, anybody to get in there. It's just like A&M. I'm no A&M fan. I would
well,
be
neither.
The exact opposite of that. A&M and Oklahoma were two of the teams I didn't like the most growing up, but I'd love to see them mess up the SEC. All right. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this edition of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.